to Indigo Insight, sponsored by Careers in Transition. This show asks questions you have yet to ask, and I'm Dr. Indigo. Today's guest is Tyler Williams, a transition coach with Tyler Williams Live. Hey, Guy, how are you?
I'm doing fine. Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's a pleasure. It's going to be a big pleasure for me because as I shared with you before we got on the show, well, I didn't share with you. I kind of kept it away from you. I'm actually in transition. And the thing is, I did not have you on the show because I wanted free coaching. Initially, I just wanted you on the show because I find the coaching industry fascinating.
Absolutely.
So tell me a little bit about what you do.
I'm a transition coach. So we work with people that are trying to navigate the transitions in their lives. So I believe everybody goes through transitions, some even daily. You know, just getting out of your bed and going to brush your teeth, that can be a transition for some. And so we don't just look at the big moments in life, whether you're going from school to a first job, or you're going from the job you hate to finding the job you might love, or could be even a relationship that's ending. We work through those transitions, helping them pull the blinders off to see what's out there, seeing the opportunities rather than the problems. Because so often we get stuck in those problems that's all we see. And it causes us to typically either ball up in fear or act out in aggression. And so when we're able to pull the blinders off and see present opportunities in real time, it changes the game for people because they suddenly see, I can do this. I can move through this, and it's not the end of the world. The world's not crashing down on me.
Okay, so what was a game changer for you that really sparked your interest in becoming a coach?
Oh, wow. So I had a relationship that ended. It was about a 4.5-year relationship. And as a girl, I thought at some point I was definitely going to marry. And so I started just doing some self-exploration, seeing, you know, who am I? What am I here for? And how do I offer myself to the world? Because I suddenly realized that, you know, I wasn't really showing up as my full self. You know, people around me still got to experience me. We were having fun. I was living life, but I wasn't truly connecting with the people around me in a way that I would say now is truly all me. I'm all in the game. Mm-hmm. And so over about 3 years, I began a journey just to search and explore different things about what do I really like? What do I want to do? Where do I see my life going in the next 1, 2, 3 years? And most of all, realizing, you know what? Things change. And I don't have to have a plan for every moment. And when I don't have that plan, I can live in that moment with more intentionality just to experience the full moment. You know, I used to live by 3-5-year plans knowing I want to be right here and that's what it's going to be. And I had this picture played out. And when that relationship ended, that kind of changes things. Mm-hmm. You know, you get out of college and you start going, okay, I'll be married by this age. I'll have this job, I'll have this many kids, and it doesn't work out that way often. And when it doesn't, if you're not prepared for it, how do you really navigate? How do you handle that?
Right. Well, it's interesting. I'm reading a book called Finding Your Way, and they have me listed on the back as recommending this book. And the thing about the book, I actually said I'm going to recommend it to a couple of my 50-year-old friends. And I just turned 50 less than 2 weeks ago, and I'm reading the book. Because it seems like when you change or cross over to 50, so much goes into transition, so much just spirals for you. So let me ask you, for someone like me, what's the difference between my seeking a consultant, a coach, or a counselor?
Well, we look at consultants as they're going to tell you what to do. They're the subject matter expert. They've been doing it for years. They know what works. They've tested it. They're continually testing it. They're out there every day doing it. And so they're going to give you the tools to make it happen. A counselor, we typically look at, they help you working on the past. Mm. So they're going to sit with you and really work through what's happened, help you understand it, help you understand yourself. But it's a lot of typical, maybe even dysfunction to functional. And coaching, we look at as taking a functional person to optimal.
Oh, interesting.
And so I believe everybody is a high performer. They just don't know it yet.
Right.
Everybody has greatness within them, and when we call it out and speak it, it becomes reality for them. And the truth is, I've encountered a lot of people who've never had that experience. Nobody was there to say, hey, I see this greatness within you. I see the capabilities you have here. You know, your skills in this one area, they're unbelievable. And when they start hearing that, it's like, no, I just do that. Okay. Well, yeah, you just do that because that's you. That's what makes you you. And so when they start hearing that over and over again, they start actually believing that, okay, that is something that's special about me, that is unique to me, that others don't actually do at this level. And so they start performing at a higher level and connecting at a higher level. The world around them picks up on that. And when the world starts seeing you show up at a higher level, everybody benefits. You know, your friend, they start seeing the change. You might lose some friends, but you also might get some friends to go, man, they're doing something different. I want to be a part of that. Or your coworkers, they say they've changed. Well, if you have a culture in your office that is breeding negativity and you bring positivity into that environment, over time you shift the environment as well. And so that's why I love coaching, because it's really powerful. You can make a big difference, and it's really co-active. You know, people, they start asking, well, what is it really about? How do I get, you know, how does it help me? And when somebody comes in, we just say, hey, where do you want to go? What do you want?
Okay.
And we work through their agenda.
Well, that's interesting because, okay, so I'm a career practitioner and I'm in a fog right now. So yeah. I can clearly see I need a coach.
Sure.
And I love what you just said about the difference between the three, because I really didn't know the difference.
Yeah.
But for our listeners, how would they know? I know what I don't know, that I need a coach. But people who are listening, how would they know that they need a coach?
That's the first question that we always get is, well, do I really need a coach? What is this about? And people often, when they realize they need a coach, is because they're asking questions of, you know, who am I? What am I doing? Who am I here to help? How do I help people? I'm unhappy. I'm stuck. I don't have clarity on where I'm going. You just, like you said, you're in a fog. You know, if you've been in a fog for a while, you're unhappy. Things just seem to be very stagnant. You're not experiencing a lot of joy in your life. Then those are typical questions that people are starting to ask. And oftentimes they don't know where to go. They don't know coaching is available. You know, they think, well, I don't want to go to a counselor.
Right.
Because they have this idea that they're going to sit on the couch and pour their heart out. And we do explore some of that in coaching, but it's all about creating action, build forward momentum so that they feel connected, that there's movement taking place.
Okay, so now is the time where I want to take you out of your chair and get the couch and have you just have me go through some therapy right now.
Let's do it.
So I have my doctorate, just finished that in 2 weeks, or just finished that 2 weeks ago. I have a very successful company, just started a nonprofit, have the radio show, have a wonderful family life, but yet I'm not happy. And I believe I'm not happy because I have so many things that I've been doing.
Yeah.
But at some point, I keep feeling like there's got to be something else. And I'm sure our listeners, there's people who are saying, is this all there is? There's got to be something else. So where does that come from? What's going on?
Yeah, well, first, I'd like to congratulate you on your degree. That's an amazing accomplishment, and all the other successful endeavors you've had.
Well, thank you.
The number one thing I would ask is, what does happiness mean to you? You mentioned you're not happy. So what does happiness mean to you?
Happiness means doing what you love and getting up without an alarm clock because you're passionate about going to whatever it is that you love. Now, I still get up without an alarm clock.
Yeah.
But I drag into work. And I don't know if it's that I'm burnt out.
Yeah.
Or if I'm truly seeking, if my spirit is saying there's something else out there for me.
So happiness to you is getting out of bed without that alarm clock, doing the thing you love. And you mentioned about five things that you've done, successes, great things, but there's still a little bit of happiness missing, a little bit of joy that's not involved. Where do you think that comes from?
Because I'm not doing what I went to school for. Originally, I went to school for radio and television, and I've been wanting my own television show forever. Ever. And it just hasn't happened. And so I keep doing all the things I think it takes to get a television show, such as become the expert, do the speaking engagements, have a successful accomplishment to say I've been doing this X amount of years. So maybe I'm going to turn the corner, but I don't see it. And so I think that that's really pulling at my spirit.
So knowing that you're giving your all to these other pursuits, hoping that they lead to this route instead of taking the direct route to TV and opening the door to what might be there.
I think so.
So what would you need to do to make a switch?
Well, aside from getting someone like you to coach me into the right path, I got to be honest, I don't know. I don't know if it's networking or if it's, and we just had a show on networking. I don't know if it's going online, doing a couple of shows. I don't know if it's even just trying to be discovered. But I know that that would bring me joy. And it's not just being on television that would bring me joy. It's having the message that I have that I want to share with people and get that message out.
So tell me more about that message.
Well, I have two books called Playing by the Unwritten Rules, and I help people manage their careers. I think there's a lot of people who are unhappy in their job, and we talked about this just briefly earlier. I don't think people are just necessarily unhappy in their job, but they're unhappy with where they are, what they haven't accomplished or what they're trying to accomplish. And so because of that, they act out. There's certain behaviors that manifest in the workplace that's not always to their benefit. And so because of that, I find people job hop. I find that people are underemployed. There's just a lot of things that happen that's not in their best interest that stagnates a person's career. And at the end of the day, what I believe is that I'm watching television and I see Dr. Oz, who talks about health. I see Dr. What is his name? Dr. Phil, who talks about relationships. Yep. You have Susie Orman, talks about finance. You have all these people on television who talks about various aspects of your life, but there is not one television show that talks about careers. And without a career or the stability or the happiness in the career, all of those are for naught. All your relationships are going to fall apart if you're on a suck job or your career is not stable. Finance. How can you have the right finance if you're underemployed? So I have the concept and I know it'll work. It's just a matter of getting it out there.
Well, it sounds like you have a passion for changing lives and helping people navigate transitions. What avenues for production are out there that you might not have thought of?
See, I don't know. I think that's where the frustration is coming from. And I hope the audience is okay with us having therapy here, because I'm loving this right now. And the thing is, where else can you go and have a front row seat to actual coaching?
Sure.
I think that's the I think what I like about this show right now is that a lot of people hang up a shingle saying that they're a coach.
Yeah.
And there's no degree in coaching. So how do people become qualified?
Well, that is the industry that we're in right now, is an unregulated experience. So there is a governing body called the International Coaching Federation.
Right.
And then beyond that, there are training organizations that offer certifications. Some colleges are getting in the game, providing support. I chose to become certified through a organization that is recognized by the ICF. Because I felt that was really powerful to be able to connect with someone and say, hey, I've received training here and I'm competent in skills of coaching. Because at the end of the day, coaching is all about the client. It's a client's agenda. And I've heard other coaches go in and they assert their personal agenda into that person's life.
Especially life coaches.
And that's not really doing a service to the client, because it really is all about you and what you're seeking. So if you came to me and you're trying to find out that place to find more joy, more happiness, and it was connected to what you were doing with your work, just as you're talking about here, and I completely tried to assert a new position for you that maybe wasn't something you wanted, but I thought was better for you, then you would potentially be led in a path that you weren't seeking. And so I believe it's really powerful for us to explore what's within the person that I'm looking in the eye, or that I'm on the phone with, or I'm on Skype with, and explore what's within them, because you know your life better than I do. You always talk to people and say, if we have the same exact experience and we go write a report on it, that report is going to be totally different, because we see things differently. We hear things differently. You know, we grew up differently and we have different attachments to different experiences. And so if I try to assert my position in life onto yours, it's going to turn you into a different version of me. Mm. And that's not good.
Right.
Because you're not me. You'll never be me. No one else will ever be me. And so when I focus completely on my clients it really pulls out the best within them.
Okay. You're listening to Indigo Insights presented by Careers in Transition. I'm Indigo Triplett, and I'm speaking with Tyler Williams with Tyler Williams Live. So how would a person go about selecting the right coach for the right fit? How would you know? I mean, it's not like getting a CPA where you interview and things like that, or is it?
It can be. Most people tend to find us either through digital media or word of mouth. Word of mouth is really powerful. If somebody has a great experience, they go tell somebody about what they saw and experienced and how it changed their life. And so their friends say, hey, I need something in my life that's different. So they connect with us. But there's different avenues. And the most powerful thing is that people see that it's effective, you know, because especially in the South, counseling was the big thing and is the big thing. And then you have the West Coast that's really opening the door to coaching and the life coaching world and experiencing what is possible. You know, athletic your teams, they all have performance coaches because they know their athletes need to pull out the best within them. And it's not just how to become stronger, faster. It's how to maximize mental performance because we all deal with stress and anxiety and anger and frustration and grief and sadness. And it's how we experience those and then handle that that really changes everything we experience.
Okay, so walk me through, what would I expect from a coaching relationship?
Well, again, it's at your agenda. So a great coach is someone who follows your plan and your path and then helps steer you there. It's someone who listens, who understands and validates your position, but then also holds you accountable to moving forward and creating action. You know, we can sit here and talk all day long about what you want, but unless you're moving forward and creating that action, what's the purpose? You're just talking. Mm-hmm. And by nature, I'm a thinker and a dreamer. I love to think big, to dream big. And honestly, I have a lot of great things that I'm working on that are in the works. But unless I take action, it's just a dream. And it's almost just an illusion. And so I actually personally work with a coach because I know the power of having someone to hold you accountable and then to work through the inner critic, the gremlins, those little voices in your head that everyone has that says, hey, why are you doing that? Maybe you shouldn't be doing that. You're too fat. You're too skinny. You're not smart enough. You're this, you're that, I can't, and all these things.
Right.
I don't know anyone who hasn't said that to themselves at some point.
We're kinder to other people than we are to ourselves.
Absolutely. We would never say most of the things that we think about ourselves, right?
Right.
And so a powerful coach helps navigate that relationship.
Okay. So I notice I was looking at your card, and it says that you Skype as well as telephone. Do you ever do any in person?
I don't often do in person, mostly because my clients tend to be from all over. I work with people on the West Coast and Los Angeles. I work with people that are local in Georgia. I'm based out of Athens, Georgia right now. A lot of my clients are here in Atlanta. And so most of my people are through Skype and over the phone because it's really convenient for both parties.
Mm-hmm. Well, see, I'm old school, so I believe in energy.
Sure.
That you pick up on energy when you're with each other. So how do you make up for that if you can't see the person? Or you can see them in Skype, but how do you pick up on their energy?
The number one thing that I've experienced is that in this world, we're so connected, but we're so disconnected. And so people, they find this experience of wanting to be known. And when we're sitting there having a conversation, even with friends, we often, when they're talking, we're thinking about the next thing we're going to say. Mm-hmm. We're half listening, half thinking about what we're doing. And in a coaching relationship, even through the phone, when we are listening 100%, fully engaged, and we have everything focused on the client, they feel understood at a level that they haven't felt in a long time. This person actually hears me. They're understanding what I'm going through. And they're not telling me it's okay, but they're validating my experience, saying it's real, it happened, it's mine because it's unique to me. That's powerful. And so, yeah, they can't see that face-to-face interaction where they're seeing and experiencing you in person. But that experience of being known, that's actually a really unique thing that doesn't happen very often anymore.
Interesting. So a couple of years ago, I had a client who was actually suicidal. So she was under medical care as well as coming to see me.
Yeah.
And I'm empathic. I picked up on her energy,
yeah.
Which was very difficult. Have there ever been a situation where you were coaching someone and it was a lot for you? It drained you?
Well, we all have people that drain us in our lives, whether they're friends or family or even clients. And yeah, you work with people and they have experiences that they don't follow through. They're not accountable to what they're doing. And then you have situations that are even more precious where somebody's talking about life mm-hmm. and the question of, what do I do? I'm here, but I don't want to be here. And so as a coach, when we get into those situations, because that is so much deeper than what we're trained for, you know, we typically seek out and refer them to someone who can really navigate that relationship at a deeper level with them. You know, mild depression, we can oftentimes create action and help them understand a few things and get them moving. But depression's a real thing.
Yes.
And it's something that needs to be explored and talked about. And when people are not willing to because they're afraid or they're scared, that's when it gets dark. And it gets darker and darker. And they feel alone. And that's really, really dangerous. Because life is so, so precious. And it's a gift. And they just lost sight of that. And so getting them to somebody who will work with them at that level, who's trained specific in how to handle and connect with them, you know, and oftentimes it may include medication, and that's okay. You know, there's just a stigma on just depression in general that we can't talk about it. And I think it's one of the biggest tragedies that we're experiencing right now. And you see kids going out into schools and places where they're committing horrible, horrible crimes, but they're in pain.
Mm-hmm.
And for them, that was their reality and the only thing they knew to do. Crazy as it was or is to us. And so getting help is the most vital thing, and being okay to navigate that and have a conversation and say, hey, it's real for you, and I get that.
What do you think is probably one of the major or common pain point for adults in the workplace?
I think adults in the workplace, they feel used.
Oh, interesting.
You know, they come to work and they show up and they feel like they're doing a good job, but they're not encouraged. They're not praised. And, you know, if they're not doing the job, they don't necessarily need to be patted on the back every 2 seconds. But how often does a boss come by and really encourage, hey, your contribution is valued. You know, without you here, we would be a different place. And maybe if you have the attitude that, you know, one of the big things we see in life is that we all play the victim. You know, well, my work, they're not doing this or they're doing that, and it's them against me. Or my coworkers, they're doing this, and I don't have anything that I'm not doing anything wrong. When we begin to see that we can take responsibility for us and us alone, that's when life changes.
Okay.
Because we raise our awareness to show up and say, you know what? That might be an unfortunate situation. I might not actually like what's going on here. But the only thing that I'm in control of 100% is my response to the world. And so when I go into that situation and show up at a higher level, giving of more of myself, then it changes. People start seeing that interaction is a little bit different. And so I would go back to just saying, you know, when you have those experiences where you're not feeling valued or appreciated, that you step into it and try to make a difference.
Okay, so can you share with me a couple of suggestions that you would have to give to someone who they feel stuck or they realize they need to transition?
Yeah.
What are some changes, some things that they can do?
Well, the biggest thing is that when we start transitioning, if we're not aware of it, it feels like a major disruption in our lives, that something has happened, and so you feel off. The one thing that people want to do is, because we're such a fast-paced society, we have Google, we can find out anything we want. We can go online and purchase anything we want and have it to the house in one day. We're such an instant gratification culture, we haven't sat through the process. And so we want this change overnight. So I think the most important thing is to realize that life change is a process, and it's a journey. Oftentimes, it's not easy, and it's challenging. And so when those disruptions happen, realizing that sometimes we need to dismantle a little bit of our lives in order to rebuild. And so when we take the time, working with a coach, working with a counselor, someone who can help you navigate those situations, depending on where you are, you can begin the process to rebuild. And when you begin to ask those questions, it starts unfolding and you start there's one connection, there's another. You know, about a year and a half into my experience to really finding more joy in my life, I was sitting in a men's group one Saturday morning, and I was the youngest guy there. It was mostly 45 to 65-year-old men. They're all married, had kids, kids in college. Some were already retired. And the consistent theme that I heard that day was, I don't have it figured out.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have it figured out. And that was the first time, I was about 27 years old when I heard that. It was the first time in my life that I had ever heard adult men say, I don't have it figured out.
I had it figured out until I turned 50. I did. I had it all together.
Yeah. Well, at that point, I realized I'm no different than them. There's nothing wrong with me. I'm okay here. I don't have to have it figured out. Now I have plans in my life, and I work them, and I move towards my goals and the plans that I have. But they might change tomorrow, because I don't know what comes tomorrow. And so living in the moment, knowing my values, who I am and how I show up, that's where I find joy. And then getting to do the things that I do love, attaching those values to that, that just makes it that much sweeter.
You know, a friend of mine shared with me, he said, you're not, it's not about really transitioning indigo. It may be that you don't have that one special person that with all the success you have, you need to have it to share with someone. What's your thought on that?
I think we all need someone to champion us. You know, like I said, we're in a world that's so fast-paced and that we're always talking about ourselves that people aren't often returning that. And so I think we always need that person to cheerlead with us, to champion what we're doing. Maybe it's just a life change that we're trying to make and that's really difficult. Maybe you had a big celebration because you hit a huge achievement at work. You know, one of the things that I always look back on, I used to race NASCAR while I was in college.
Mm-hmm.
And we worked for about 4 years, you know, just busting our tails, trying to win races. Well, finally, it was about our 42nd or 43rd race over 4 years. We finally won. And after we went through victory lane ceremony, the car went through technical inspection, everything was cleared. We won the race. My dad's got the video camera out. He loves technology. And so he's filming, and we're walking back to the trailer. And he goes, Tyler, how do you feel? And immediately I just said, you know, I'm just going on to next week. We got to come back and fight again. And I completely forgot to celebrate.
Mm-hmm.
And I look back now going, why did I not do that? And it's because I didn't know how.
Interesting.
And so when we have successes in our life, we have to learn to celebrate, even if it's just for a moment. Because it is special. You know, we need people that are willing to stand with us and congratulate us. And celebrate and take those moments with us because they are unique.
Interesting. I like that. You're listening to Indigo Insights presented by Careers in Transition. I'm Dr. Indigo, and I'm speaking with Tyler Williams with the Tyler Williams Live. So just chat with me for a second as we close up. What are some things that you like for the audience to know?
One, I just like to know everybody has a story. Good, bad, dark, light. We all have a story. And you're going to encounter roadblocks. You're going to encounter places where you're derailed. And what's really important is that you acknowledge it. That's the first step, is to acknowledge, hey, there's something going on here. And then from there, to seek guidance, seek wisdom. You know, there's so many places. It doesn't have to always be a coach. It could be a coach. It could be a counselor. It could be a close friend who you know just gives good wisdom. But be willing to acknowledge. You know, it's when we bring things to light that the shift occurs. You know, when we keep the things undercover, it's when they continue to fester and get darker and darker. And so whatever you're going through, be willing to explore the possibilities. When you take the blinders off, you connect with yourself and others in a way that will literally change your life forever. It doesn't mean you're going to have the keys to the perfect life, because that does not exist. But you'll have the keys to more joy, feeling more alive and engaged. And that's really, really powerful.
And see, I have something similar to that. I have this belief that if you have self-awareness, self-knowledge, and then self-acceptance, then things will come into focus. Mm. And self-awareness is just being aware of things about yourself. And I think very often many of us aren't even aware about things. And then moving into self-knowledge is being able to understand, where did that come from? Why do I behave the way, or why do I react the way that I do when certain things happen? And then accepting that that is the way it is. Yeah. Then you can create some type of change.
Well, everybody always has experiences in life, and it's like they're on repeat. And you just watch, and it's like you're doing the same thing over and over again. And you want to smash your head in the wall because you look at them going, you're complaining every day about this, but you're doing the same thing to go to that place. But they don't know how to change unless somebody helps navigate that with them.
Freud said that if we could live our life over again, it was either Freud or someone else that said, if we can live our life over again, we would do the same thing. We would date the same people. We would live in the same place, go to the same school and things like that, which is interesting when you see certain people, not certain people, when you see people in general, they end up dating the same type of people over and over and over. And it's like we're on a loop, on a reel to reel. You probably don't even remember what a reel to reel is.
I'm older than you think. I'm in my third decade.
Oh, okay. You read about it somewhere. Yeah. Okay. But I think we get on this treadmill and we just start doing things over and over, and we really don't know how to get off the treadmill. And that's where a coach would come into play.
Yeah. Well, so often in the media, everybody wants to focus on the actions of the person, but they never want to talk about what led to those actions. And so I'm such a fan of working with people who are interested in change and exploring what's going on so that they can create the life they want to live. You know, I don't know any drug addict or any alcoholic or any person struggling with depression or just a person who's not happy who wants to live that for the rest of their lives.
Right.
They just don't know how to get to something different. And oftentimes it just wasn't modeled that way for them. They didn't have a father or a mother or a mentor to guide them through that. And so they just continue the cycle of what they saw or what they witnessed. And so when we begin to explore that, we can create the change.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if you're able to share this or not, but are you able to give a range of what a person should expect to pay a coach?
Varies.
Just a range.
Widely across the board, because it is up to the individual coach. I've seen anywhere from $75 an hour to $500 an hour.
Mm.
Totally depends on the niche, what you're looking for. Most people, on average, I would say, are between $125 and $175. When you get into business coaching, then you get into the higher ranges. But it varies widely, depending on the person.
And I think where people miss the boat is that sometimes they can go to their employer and ask that they pick up the tab, because it does help with performance and productivity.
Yeah.
So that's something I want you all out there to think about, that if you do need a coach, you don't have to always go it alone. I think if you got together a good sales pitch to share with your manager of how you can improve your performance and increase productivity, if you had the right coach.
Well, what I love about coaching is that it's not a long-term process. We can create significant, massive change in 12 weeks. Now, you might want to continue longer because you love exploring and it just feels really right for you to continue the relationship. But, you know, counselors, I've seen a lot, and I've been to counseling myself, and I love the work they do, but I've often seen that you can stay for a year or 2 years.
Or a lifelong therapist.
And you stay there forever. And again, that's not a bad thing. But I like people to know that, hey, you can come work with me, and in 12 weeks, we'll create change. We'll open the door to the things you were looking to pursue. We'll have more clarity and more focus so that you can go towards that. And then you can launch into what you're doing. If you want to stay, that's great. We'll keep working together because we can always look for something to move towards or hold you accountable towards, keep you actionable. But you might go down the road and 3 years later come back because you said, hey, things were great and I just had another disruption. Let's talk that out. And so that's what I love about coaching, is it's not a long-term solution in terms of personal work.
Okay.
It's long-term for the client because they're always working. Every day is a work in progress. But the work with the client and the coach relationship, it doesn't have to be a permanent, because you're not flawed. You just need some clarity.
Okay. Share with the audience how they can get in touch with you, Tyler.
You can find more about what I do at tylerwilliamslive.com, You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Williams_Tyler. And I offer a complimentary session to anyone who's interested in learning more about coaching. And we do that because, just as you said, people often have not experienced the coaching process. And so I love to give people the chance to, one, learn about the coaching process, and two, get a feel for me. Do they like my presence and how I manage the coaching process? And if they feel that's a good fit, then we can talk about establishing that relationship.
Okay. Indigo Insights airs live on the first Friday of every month at 10 a.m. Don't forget that you can listen to this episode and any other episodes of Indigo Insights anytime by visiting GwinnettBusinessRadio.BusinessRadioTimes.com. X. See, these guys gave me a piece of paper, and I'm trying to read it. You want me to do that again? Want me to say it again? I'm going to say it again. Okay, GwinnettBusinessRadio.BusinessRadioX.com. Ah. Until next time, I'm Indigo Triplett, and this has been Indigo Insights.